Good morning. I'm Mary Walter. I'm here with Vince Colonnais on a really incredibly busy morning.
Good morning.
We have this terror attack in New York City, and we've been discussing that in depth. And obviously, as things happen and we get more information, I don't know if we'll get any more today. I think we've gotten a lot so far. We do know that the perpetrator, the terrorist, has been shot in the abdomen, and he had surgery last night, and he is in critical condition, Saifullo Saipov, but he is expected to live. So he is expected to make it, which I guess if you want to interrogate him, good thing. Let's go to right now an eyewitness who was there in Lower Manhattan. This is Lynn Snowden Pickett. Lynn, good morning. Welcome to Mornings on the Mall.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, the first question I have is, are you okay? That's the first thing right out of the box. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. My daughter's fine. You know, we had a bit of a rough night last night. It's easy to feel okay afterward, but then when you're alone in bed and in the dark and thinking about things, it's a little more, your mind just races.
Lynn, could you set the scene for us? Where were you and when this all went down?
I was on the bike path, riding with a city bike down to meet my daughter after school. And I now estimate that I got off the bike at Chambers and West Street 5 minutes before the gunman got there. So I docked the bike right there, walked half a block to the school, picked up my daughter in the schoolyard, and we came out, and I heard this incredible bang and looked over to my left, and there was this Home Depot truck that had crashed into something, and its hood was kind of buckled up, and there was a lot of white smoke pouring out of the engine. And there were a lot of high school students, because the high school is right there, sort of milling around and sort of stumbling. And I thought, oh, no, did that van crash into a bunch of kids? So we took a few steps toward that area thinking, you know, because I said to Lauren, maybe somebody's hurt. And then as like a whole crowd at once just started racing toward me, and one kid said he has a gun. And at first I thought, well, maybe that's just what, you know, somebody thought. Maybe he does not have a gun, or who has a gun. It was very unclear, but I want to get out of here no matter what. I started looking across the highway where it's very busy, and I thought, well, if the light changes, we can just bolt across the road, and I can see a taxi coming up. Maybe we can get there in time. My daughter turned the other way and saw the gunman, and was very upset, but there was a traffic warden who was trying to stop people from crossing the street. I think she was concerned about the stampede or something, but I just grabbed Lauren's hand and said, come on, run with me, and we ran across the street. We had the light. It wasn't like I was running out to traffic, and we ran over to a taxi and got in, and I told the guy where we were going, which is ridiculous. You know, you should say, turn left here, get out of here. You know, I gave him our home address. It's funny what you do in a crisis. You just proceed as you normally would. But I told him where we were going, and then I said, oh, and there's a guy with a gun on that corner. So I had Lauren down on the floor of the cab, and I was sort of over her. And the cab driver, as he drove past, said, I see him. I see the gunman. And then we heard shots, a lot of them. I mean, now everybody's saying it was about five, but when I was hearing them, it seemed like there were a lot of shots. I just think the stress of the moment. But I wasn't looking out the window. I was just covering up Lauren. And when we finally got out of there and turned onto our street, the cab driver said, you know, it's funny that the gunman looked like he was looking for someone specific. He wasn't really shooting at just random people. And so then later when it came out, oh, it might have been a case of road rage, I thought, gee, I wonder if that guy was looking for the other driver. Mm-hmm. But now, in light of what's happened, I think it's pretty obvious that the guy was looking for police to shoot him and kill him. And I'm really glad he was shot, and I'm also really glad he didn't die, because I want him to face what he did.
Well, this is an unbelievable situation you found yourself in. I don't know, and it's impossible to know, how you would handle a situation where, as a parent, you have, in your case, an 8-year-old daughter with you, and you're concerned with, you said she was she was getting worried about the situation, and you were also concerned about her safety. So you're kind of dealing with a bunch of different things. And my guess is that you didn't have a lot of time to assess your own emotions until much later in the day.
Yeah, that's it. When we got back to the apartment, my son was here, and he was like, oh, I'm all in my costume. Let's go out trick-or-treating. And I thought, I mean, Lauren had already said there's no way she's even leaving the building. And I said, that's fine. I'll trick-or-treat with you just in the building. That's fine. No worries. And then my husband got home, and he, you know, we told him what happened, and now it was on the news. And then Lauren decided, you know what? I am going to go out. And so she got in her costume, and the three of them went out. I there's no way I was leaving the house. I just felt like I'm kind of done with the outside for the moment. And but I, you know, this real New York kid. They she decided she wanted to go, and they had a great time. So you know, we keep telling her, look, the bad guy has been captured, and you know, we're all fine. So it's just sort of what happens, I guess.
Yeah, and as New Yorkers, as you said, New York kids, and I think that's a testament to, you know, the mindset of an 8-year-old on Halloween. You know, yeah, I think I'm going to go out, which is a wonderful thing that she just said, yeah, I'm going out. But let me ask you, being in that area, that park there, that drive where everybody was, is a beautiful area. There are a lot of big parks and things like that in Washington, D.C., in New York. Does this make you, in the long run, do you think less willing to do something like that, to less willing to take your daughter to the park now, to go
no,
to something like
not
that?
At all. A little perspective on this. We were living here during 9/11. Obviously, the kids weren't born yet, but my husband and I were in this very apartment. And then, remember when that man, that maniac, drove through Times Square some months ago and mowed down a whole bunch of pedestrians? I literally got out of a cab 10 minutes before that guy showed up on that spot. I was at 45th and Broadway.
Oh,
I had an
gosh.
Appointment half a block away. I got to the appointment inside a building, and we heard an incredible amount of sirens and ambulances and everything. And it was one of those things like, oh, for gosh sakes, tourists, get out of the way of the ambulance in Times Square. It didn't even occur to me that there could be something wrong.
Well, there's no question. Yeah. There's no question. You've got a guardian angel. Thank you very much for giving us your account this morning.
Thank you. But life does go on, and you know what? You could slip in the shower and die. So you just have to get out there and live.
You're soldiering on. Thank you very much. Really appreciate your account this morning, Lynn Snowden Pickett, an eyewitness to all of that yesterday.